朋友，你在收听的是活在耶稣里网站提供的福乐人生讲坛。今天的讲员是李秀全牧师。愿神的话语滋润你的心田，使你能更好地认识神和认识自己，并坚定地信靠神。
亲爱的天父，我们实在感谢你，你是我们的牧者。
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are indeed our shepherd.
当我们走在今天这个人生的道路上的时候，
As we walk upon this path of life,
你没有离开我们。
You did not leave us.
你不只是牵引着我们往前走。
You lead us to go forward.
而且你也在前面带着我们往前走。
And you're walking before us.
主啊，我们感谢赞美你。
We praise and thank you.
好牧人为羊舍命。
Because the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep.
因着主你所流的宝血。
Because of the blood that you shed.
因着你在十字架上所成就的。
Because of what you have accomplished on the cross.
我们今天在你的面前有个崭新的身份和地位。
Today we have a new identity and position before you.
我们诚心地在你面前献上感谢。
And we give you our thanks.
我们把今天这段时间交在主你手中。
You place this following time into your own hands.
相信你在我们的中间与我们同在。
We trust that you will be with us.
向我们说话。
And speak to us.
圣灵感动我们的心。
The Holy Spirit will move our hearts.
奉耶稣基督的名。
We pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
最近我有个偶然的机会听到一个在台湾电视电台的一个消息。
By chance, recently I heard a story that was broadcasted over the television in Taiwan.
他们鼓励这些小朋友在一个特别的节目自己创作一些童话的故事。
The program encouraged children to create their own stories.
所以他们请了一个小朋友在那边讲一个他自己所创造的一个童话寓言。
And one of the program segments was to let a youngster tell their own story that they created.
他说这个故事里面说有一个青蛙。
And the story goes, there was a frog.
他接到西班牙国王的一个邀请函。
Received an invitation from the king of Spain.
请他参加国际的游泳大赛。
Inviting him to participate in this international swimming competition.
这个青蛙非常的兴奋。
The frog was excited.
摩拳擦掌，真是想一展雄风，希望得到冠军，拿到金牌。
Because this is a good opportunity for him to win a gold medal.
这个故事告诉我们说，到了比赛那天。
But on the day of the competition.
各路英雄好汉都来了。
Many people and different creatures came.
枪声一响。这个青蛙呢，用最快的速度，用最优美的姿态，夺得了第一名。
And the frog indeed, through his graceful swimming, was number one.
当他从水里面上来的时候
，when it came out from the water，
他要等许多的人在那里赞美他。
He was waiting for people to heap praises on him.
他等着裁判要把冠军的那个第一名的这个金牌给他。
He's waiting for the gold medal.
但是后来裁判宣判说。他得不到第一名。
But then the judge announced he did not get the first prize.
因为他违反了比赛的规则。
Because he has gone against the rules.
因为这个规则说什么游泳的这个式样都可以，就是不能用蛙式。
Because the rule was that you cannot use the crawl or the frog style.
那么因为这青蛙看不懂西班牙文，反正知道是游泳比赛，他就去参加了这个比赛。
But because the frog couldn't read Spanish, he didn't see the rules.
每一件事情都有它一定的法则。
Because to do anything in a competition, there are rules.
我相信最近这两个月我们在看一年读经一遍的弟兄姊妹，从创世纪开始读的话。
And for those of you who are participating with the read through the Bible in 1 year, in the past 2 months, you may have come across these things.
你今天应该已经读完了利未记。
Today you should have finished Leviticus.
在我们所读过的这三卷书里面
，in the 3 books that we have gone through,
我们清楚地看见一件事情：上帝是一个有法则的上帝。
You will see very clearly that God operates by rules.
而且上帝命令他的百姓做事也照着一定的原则。
And God has commanded his people to observe many rules and regulations.
从造会幕到这个献祭。
from the building of the tabernacle to the offering,
甚至到人与人之间的人际关系
and interpersonal relations.
神都很清楚地启示一些原则。
God has clearly revealed many principles for us.
很多人一讲到旧约就说哎呀旧约太难懂太深奥。
When people hear about the Old Testament, they feel that it's difficult and hard to understand.
事实上当你真的好好地去读圣经的时候读旧约的时候你发现里面有许许多多的教导教训是很合适于我们今天的生活的需要。
But if we try to dig into the Old Testament, we find much that we can apply today.
上帝不是一个没有法则行事的上帝。
God operates under certain rules and regulations.
今年我们教会的主题是建立基督的身体。
The theme for our church this year is building his body.
刚才我们肖弟兄带我们读以弗所书。
Just now, Brother Shao has led us reading the book of Ephesians.
在以弗所书里面我们很清楚地看见保罗向以弗所教会或者当年小亚细亚的一些教会告诉他们建立基督身体的一些原则是什么。
This epistle, clearly you can see Paul teaching the churches in Asia Minor how to build the church of Christ.
在往后的几个主日大概我们没有时间按节按章的来查考。
Even though we do not have the time luxury of going through verse by verse.
相信以弗所书里面 有许多的段落是非常精彩可以对我们有帮助的。
But much of these passages are useful and exciting for us.
好不好请各位再翻回到刚才我们所读的以弗所书第一章十五节到二十三节。
So let us turn back to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and concentrating on the verses we just read, verses 15 to 23.
刚才我们所读的这段经文是保罗在以弗所书里面所记载下来的他的一个祷告的祷告词。
What is recorded here is a prayer uttered by Paul.
在以弗所书有两段的圣经是很清楚的保罗把他的祷告的句子把它写下来记载下来。
In the book of Ephesians, there are two clear passages where it is the prayer of Paul.
一个是我们今天所读的，另外一个是在第三章十四节到二十一节。
We have read the first prayer, and the second obvious prayer is recorded in chapter 3, verses 14 to 21.
我盼望在今后的几个礼拜，我们能够看这两个祷告。
I hope to spend some time in the coming weeks to meditate on these prayers with you.
因为这两个祷告不只是显明保罗对以弗所教会的盼望和心愿。
Because through these prayers, we can see the hope and wishes of Paul upon the church in Ephesus.
我们也看见上帝对教会的心意是什么。
But from this, we can also glean what God has in mind for his church.
当我们提到教会的时候
，When we mention the word church,
我们很清楚地发现一件事情。
It's clear to us.
在主耶稣基督的教训里面比较少提到。
In the teachings of Jesus, we rarely see a teachings upon the church.
但是不是完全没有。
But it's not that there's none.
保罗却把它发扬光大。
But through the teachings of Paul, we can see this much more clearly.
在整个保罗的书信里面。
In all the letters of Paul.
他强调一个很重要的教会的真理。
He always stresses the important truth of the church.
也许我们觉得教会的真理可能有一点太枯燥。
Sometimes we may feel that the church, the truth according to the to the church is somewhat boring.
但是对保罗来讲，他深深地感觉到当时的这些基督徒需要对教会的真理有一个认识和了解。
But in the mind of Paul, it was very clear that he felt that the congregation needed this teaching.
在四福音里面
，in the four gospels,
主耶稣只提过两次教会这个词。
Jesus only used the word church twice.
一次是在马太福音十六章十八节。
The first time was in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18.
一次是在马太福音十八章十七节。
And the second time was also in Matthew.
马可、路加、约翰都没有提到教会这个词。
The word church did not appear in the other three gospels.
虽然很简单，只有两节的圣经提到教会。
Even though Jesus only mentioned the church twice.
但是主耶稣基督的智慧太丰富。
But the wisdom of our Lord is indeed deep.
那两节关于教会的启示足够让保罗去发挥他对教会的负担。
From those two verses, Paul was able to expound on other truths.
在马太福音十六章十八节，耶稣基督提到教会的时候
In Matthew 16, verse 18,
那个地方他提到的教会是一个宇宙性、一个属灵的一个教会。
Jesus was referring to the universal church.
没有时间和空间的限制。
It was not limited by time or space.
他说我要把教会建立在这磐石上。
Jesus said, I will build my church upon this rock.
阴间的权柄没有办法胜过它。
And the power of Hades will not prevail against it.
很明显的给我们看见，主耶稣讲到教会的时候，不是只说有形的教堂而说的。
So it was very clear that Jesus was not pointing towards a physical church building.
我们要分别什么叫教会，什么叫教堂。
We need to distinguish between a church and a church building.
人家问你你要去哪里？
If someone asks you, where are you going?
你说我要去教会。
You say, I'm going to the church building.
这句话有两个意思。
There may be two meanings.
一个意思说我要到教堂去。
If you just say, I'm going to church, you may mean going to church building.
另外一个意思是什么呢？
What is the other meaning?
我要跟其他一些弟兄姊妹他们在聚会，我要到他们中间去。
I'm going into the midst of a group of brothers and sisters.
所以教会可以是一个教堂。
So the word church may connotate a building.
但是教会也可以不是教堂。
But it also may not refer to a physical building.
有物质的建筑不是最重要。
It's not the most important thing to have a materialistic building.
我们现在在建堂的过程当中。
Right now we are building a church.
我觉得我们需要对这一方面有一个清楚的圣经的认识。
And it's very clear that we have a biblical understanding.
Lexington所盖的那个教堂可有可无。
What we are building in Lexington right now is not utterly necessary.
但是教会是不可以没有的。
But we have to have the church.
在中国大陆。
In mainland China.
在许多东欧的国家。
In Eastern European countries.
当政权在禁止基督教的活动的时候。
When the political powers are trying to suppress the religious activities.
它可以封闭教堂。
They can close all the churches.
但是不能禁止教会。
But they cannot stop the church.
这是我们必须要了解的一个很起码的一个圣经的知识。
And this is a very fundamental understanding that we need to have.
所以马太福音16章就提到这个教会是一个超时空间的一个团体。
So the church that Jesus was referring to was a universal church transcending time and space.
到了18章。
But in chapter 18,
也是耶稣说的话。
Also the word of Jesus.
也是提到教会这个字。
He also mentioned the word church.
在希腊文 ecclesia 这个字呢，两次耶稣都用同样的一个字。And
it's the same Greek word that Jesus was using.
但是在上下文来看，18章讲到教会跟16章讲到教会不一样。But
if you review the context of the word that he used, you will see that there is a difference in meaning.
主耶稣在马太福音18章怎么说呢？
What did he say according of referring to the church?
他说你们中间如果
Here it says, if your brother sins against you,
弟兄姊妹，这是一个很严肃的事情。
This is indeed a very serious matter.
因为从教会还没有开始，在耶稣基督预言的里面就已经提到教会不是个完全的东西。
Because even before the establishment of a church, Jesus already have prophesied that it's not going to be perfect.
因为教会是人的一个集合。
Because a church is a gathering of human beings.
只要有人，一定有问题。
Where there are humans, there will be problems.
所以有人告诉我。
Someone have said.
我不来教会，我还觉得对你们教会印象还不错。
If I don't come to church, then I have a better impression of what you are like.
我现在参加了你们的教会。
But now that I have come.
特别是你们一天到晚逼我要侍奉。
Especially since now you're trying to force me to serve.
我开始侍奉。
And I started serving.
我越来越对你们失望。
Then I'm getting very disappointed in you.
我说你不要忘记，不是你们，是我们。
I said, don't say the word you, say us.
我说你还没有进来以前，我们还不错的。
Because before you joined us, we were better.
在马太福音18章。
So in Matthew chapter 18.
他说教会里面如果有人犯罪。
If in the church someone sinned.
他说要告诉教会。
You have to tell the church.
教会要出面来处理这个犯罪的事情。
The church has to decide on this.
然后那个地方就告诉我们说怎么处理法。
And also went on to say how we can make certain decisions.
清楚地看见18章那里提到的教会是有形有体在时间空间里面的一个组合，一个团体。
So here in chapter 18 is very clear that this is a specific church in time.
所以在耶稣短短的两节圣经里面就已经把教会整个的真理让我们很清楚的看见。
So in these two short passages, Jesus has already revealed to us the truth according to the church.
教会有两种的意义。
There are two meanings.
一个是古今中外超时空间的一些蒙恩的人组织成的合在一起的一个属灵的一个团体。
It is indeed a spiritual organization made up of people who have worshipped him, who have come together through the times.
我们说这是一个 organism, 是一个有机的一个团体。
And some say this is not an organization, but an organism.
但是到了十八章的时候，
But in chapter 18,
我们看见教会是个 organization, 是个组织。
But here we see very clearly that there's organization in the church.
所以今天在教会里面，我们不可以排斥它的组织性。
So in the church today, we cannot just say there should be no organization.
但是我们不可以没有它的有机生命的那个部分。
But we cannot also neglect the organic life of the church.
在以弗所书，保罗就把这样的一个教会的真理，我刚才说，去把它发扬光大。
And Paul developed this truth in more profound ways in the book of Ephesians.
这两段在以弗所书里面记载的祷告都跟教会有关系。
And the two prayers recorded here all refer to the church.
都提到教会这个词。
He always mentioned the word church.
二十三节很清楚地告诉我们说，教会就是他的身体。
In verse 23, it says very clearly that the church is his body.
所以现在大家了解我们为什么今年定这个题目，我们说建立基督的身体就是建立教会的意思。
So now you understand when we chose the theme building his body, it also means building his church.
今天我们没有时间把整这个第一章十五节到二十三节讲完，我只讲一部分。
I can only spend time on a portion of this prayer.
因为这个祷告本身就分成两部分。
Because this prayer itself can be made into two parts.
或者说在保罗的祷告里面，它有两个重点。
Or you can say there are two important themes here.
如果你注意听英文翻译的时候，你就会注意到在十七节 ，I keep asking that. 我不断的祷告为了下面一件事情，然后在了第十八节 ，I pray also that. 我也这样祷告，祷告下面的事情。
In the English, it's quite clear in verse 17 and verse 18, Paul was praying for different things.
所以我们在十七节看到 I keep asking that, 它有一个祷告。
So verse 17 tells us a certain kind of prayer.
然后到了十八节，他这里说 I pray also that, 所以他也为另外一件事情祷告。
And in verse 18, the prayer is concerning other things.
那么第十七节的祷告是什么呢？
So what is the prayer in verse 17?
在中文圣经最后一句话，使你们真知道他。
In the Chinese, it says, for you to know him truly.
那么十八节，他那个祷告是什么呢？
What is the prayer in verse 18?
并且照明你们心中的眼睛，使你们知道，又提到使你们知道。
To let you know.
所以换句话说，保罗这个祷告有两个目的，一个目的是希望这些基督徒知道一件事情，又知道另外一件事情。
In other words, then Paul is praying for the Christians to know two different things.
第一个知道是知道他。
The first thing is to know him.
第二是知道三件事情。
And the second prayer is to know three things.
知道何等指望的恩召。
To know the kind of hope.
知道何等荣耀的基业。
The riches of the inheritance.
十九节知道何等浩大的能力。
And to know the power.
恩召、基业和能力，这是保罗在这里提到的三件事情。
So in verse 18, Paul was praying that we would know three things: our hope, our inheritance, and the power.
那么这三件事情，我们下个礼拜讲。
We will spend next week.
所以换句话说
talking about this.
换句话说，保罗在这里这两个重点，一个呢是认识神。
So the first important point is we need to know God.
第二个是认识什么
？What is the second know?
认识我们自己。
To know ourselves,
认识我们是怎么样的人
To know what kind of people we are like.
认识基督徒是怎么样的一个基督徒。
To know the position of the Christian.
我常常觉得今天的基督徒没有发现我们做神儿女、做神仆人一个尊贵的身份。
Very often I have said that Christians today do not know the glory of being his children.
我常常发现今天很多的基督徒在教会里面还挺身昂首，到了教会外面就垂头丧气。
Many times I find that Christians are proud that they are Christians only in the church, but when they leave the church, they feel that they are not as proud.
我们在教会里面声音很大，我们在教会的外面静若寒蝉。
In the church, we can speak with a loud voice, but outside, we dare not speak out.
为什么？
Why?
因为我们没有认识我们在上帝眼中有一个荣耀的身份。
Because we have not truly find out that we have a glorious position before God.
世人都犯了罪。
All have sinned.
我们是罪人。
Yes, we are sinners.
我们都承认，我们都相信，因为我们是从这一点入门的，因为我们知道我们需要耶稣。
We know this because that's how we entered into his salvation.
但是亲爱的弟兄姊妹，上帝不要我们永远留在一直觉得自己是罪人的这种地步。
But God does not want us to linger in that stage thinking we are sinners all the time.
我觉得今天的基督教可怜兮兮的。
Sometimes I think it's so pitiful in the Christian church.
有一本书叫《基督徒快乐的秘诀》。
There's a book known as The Secret of Christian's Joy.
他的第一页他怎么说呢？
What did he say in the first page?
他说基督徒好像一个犯了头痛的病人一样。
So Christians are like those who have a headache.
一天到晚就头痛头痛，愁眉苦脸。
Every day you spend your time you're having a headache and you are very sad.
那么你建议他说把头拿掉，他又不愿意，当然不可能。
Of course, if you give him the advice, take your head off, that's impossible.
弟兄姊妹，我不知道我要怎么样在这个讲台上来呼吁这件事情。
I don't know how I can make this calling to you.
我们是罪人。
Yes, we are sinners.
但是我们是蒙恩的罪人。
But we are sinners with grace.
我们不是单单被耶稣从罪恶里面拯救出来而已。
Not only were we saved from sin.
神拯救我们不是单单为出埃及的。
God did not save us just to leave Egypt.
神带领我们要进入迦南地。
God is leading us to enter Canaan.
在以弗所书第一章前面那一段提到天上各样属灵的福气。
In the first portions of chapter 1, Paul reminded us of all the heavenly glories.
神给我们有许许多多的丰富。
All the riches that God has prepared for us.
但是今天的基督徒不会去享受。
But today's Christian do not know how to enjoy it.
我们从罪恶里面出来了。
Yes, we have left sin.
我们没有进入到耶稣基督的荣耀和丰富的里面。
But we have not entered into his glory and riches.
所以我们基督徒一直就活在那种冷冷热热、高高低低、起起伏伏的情况里面。
That's why we always have this up and down type of feeling.
所以保罗在这里为他们祷告。
So Paul is praying for them.
他用三个何等的来给他们看见神是何等的丰富在他们身上。
In the Chinese, he was saying, so that you will truly know.
这个我们下一次再讲。
But that's for next week.
但希望如果弟兄姊妹有机会，这个礼拜多有机会看这一段的经文。
But perhaps I can encourage you to spend some time reading through this passage this week.
如果有机会跟英文对照的来看。
Especially read it with conjunction to the English and the Chinese version.
如果我们详细的看，我们可以看出这段经文比表面好像清楚的多。我们第一次读的时候，觉得里面的思路有一点混乱。
When you first read this, you may think that there is some confusion in thought patterns, but when you spend some time, it becomes clear.
参考刚才我所给各位的分析，那么我相信对这段经文大家会有更深的一些享受。
Especially read this in light of what I have shared with you, so that we can indeed enjoy His word.
保罗为以弗所教会所祷告的第一件事是什么？
So what is his first prayer?
他对教会最重的负担是什么？
What is his most important concern?
第一件事情就是要认识神。
The most important thing is to know God.
我们知道以弗所书是个很特别的书。
We know that the book of Ephesians is an interesting book.
在第一节
In verse 1,
奉神旨意做基督耶稣使徒的保罗写信给在以弗所的圣徒，本来在原文以弗所这三个字是没有的。
In the English, you say, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints in Ephesus. The original did not contain the word Ephesus.
第一世纪当然没有 copy machine.
In the first century, we do not have Xerox machines.
但是保罗呢，他找了几个文书替他写了几本以弗所书。
But Paul, had some help from different scribes and wrote several different, but the same letter.
一本寄给以弗所。
One sent to the church.
其他寄给别的教会。
And the other sent to other churches.
所以我们发现以弗所书跟其他的书信不一样。
So this is indeed a different letter.
在别的书信到最后一章，保罗都很啰嗦。哎呀，张三如何如何呢？那么李四你也问候问候他了。哎呀，那个人最近身体又不好了。他有很多很多 personal touch 在里面。
In many of the other letters, when you read the ending, you find Paul would ask for so-and-so and give his greetings to this one or that one with many personal remarks.
以弗所书没有。
But you do not find it.
因为他有一个特别的背景。
Because that's the important context here.
所以他对这个教会有一个盼望，等于不只是对以弗所，是对整个当时小亚细亚，圣灵也就用他这个负担，对历史历代的教会发出这样的一个呼吁。
In other words, the truth contained in the book of Ephesians is for all churches.
朋友，你收听的是福乐人生讲坛的系列节目，我是玛丽姐妹，感谢你的收听，也希望你能为活在耶稣里福音事工祷告。如果你愿意用金钱奉献来支持福音节目，请在我们网站的首页点击奉献支持，与我们一起同工，带领更多的同胞来归向神的救恩。